Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Well, my guest today is singer-songwriter Brett Hellings. He's assembled an extraordinary lineup of musicians for his new single and video, Chance on Love. The track features Richard Fortus, guitarist for Guns N' Roses, Daryl Jones, longtime bassist for the Rolling Stones, legendary drummer and bassist Charlie Drayton, known for his work with Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, Bob Dylan, and Johnny Cash, and acclaimed multi-instrumentalist Cary Frank, who has performed with Bruce Springsteen and Michael Bublé. Chance on Love is described as a soulful power ballad that speaks to the many dimensions of love, celebrating our shared humanity and the life-changing possibilities that come when you take a chance on yourself by taking a chance on someone else. We're going to talk about the story behind the song, the collaboration behind it, and Brett's evolving journey as an indie artist. And for more about Brett Hellings, visit hellings.music, and you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hellings. And Brett, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. What's going on? Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, a pleasure. So, okay, why is it you chose the road of indie artist as opposed to being a plumber?
Well, I don't know. You know, plumbing sounds pretty good, actually, at this point. I
was just kidding. Steady work.
I don't know. Indie artist is the way to go if you really want to find yourself in this industry, I think, in my view. Like, if you really want to find who you are as an artist, especially with no artist development really out there, being an indie artist, I never was told what to do, where to go, or how to figure out my journey. And it was really nice to be in that, and have the ability to be in that field and do it that way. A lot of artists need sort of financial backing or something like that, but I kind of did it on my own, and I wanted to really do it for the music. I wanted to find out where I was going to go, no restrictions, and not being compared to anything or trying to fit in some sort of slot or some sort of trend. So being an indie artist has been an amazing experience. It's really hard. It's really hard to do. And you get your ups and downs. But in the long run, I can't be more proud of where I'm at and who I've played with and where I've gotten to. So if you just have that mentality of go find yourself, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I know you. A lot of people know you from Here to Have a Good Time, which was several years ago.
Yes.
That you debuted that. And I was listening to it the other day and enjoyed it. And I wanted to have a good time, but I think I was just eating something healthy, and just having something healthy and having a good time just never works. You got to have something worse than good, you know, healthy stuff.
Yeah, right. You got to have the bad stuff to have a good time, right?
Exactly.
That's so funny that you say that. I will say that song is a particular side to me, and a particular thing for anybody just wanting to have a good time. It's not we're not always having a good time, are we? You know,
No.
But that song really fits that. And I was in a mode where I was having a really good time and having some fun. But it's so funny that you say that, because one of my managers, you know, she was saying, you know, not everybody's having a good time. We're not all having a good time. There's times, like, if you come to see me in LA and play and, you know, it's a night out, it's a good time. But it's just one facet of kind of what I do. And man, I'm so proud of that song. I was having so much fun at that point in my career. But you grow and you learn. And I'll never take that back. It's one of the things
that
I play all the time. But you grow. You learn that, like you said, it's not always a good time. It could be maybe now a chance to, you know, think about your love life, as the lyric goes.
Yeah.
Don't care about your life. Like, now I'm a chance on love, you know? So it's all related to that love thing.
So if you ever go the other way, get depressed and everything, you can have one, Here to Have a Bad Time.
Yeah, Here to Have a Bad Time, right?
Yeah, that could work.
It sounds a little grungy. I like it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Now, for those who are listening and can't see you, there's a bunch of instruments behind you. Are they all playable?
They're all playable. Even this one, my old girl, she's been beaten to death. I've played her so many times and thrown her around the room, and people have done it. And she's always still works. It's the first thing I kind of go to when I'm about to write a song. Outside of, like, and actually this keyboard right over here is one of my first keyboards I got when I was like 14. So I kept all my original stuff. Even that poster of the Stones in the back is a gift from my brother. He owned an art gallery at one time, and he gave it to me. The frame's not on it anymore, but I kept the stuff that was so inspiring to me. I had a need to get anything new. It's sort of magic, you know?
Yeah. And so it's also traditional in a way. You're keeping part of history.
Your oh history. My goodness, yes, absolutely. Hopefully I'll sell it someday for like millions of dollars. I don't think I could ever sell my old girl, you know. She's a part of me.
If you're here to have a good time, you could sell it in that way.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm really here to have a good time, you got to sell it quick, you know?
So now you've grown as an artist and you now have a new single, Chance on Love. And before we even get into how you decided to write about that, it's an interesting story. You have so many great collaborators. You look like, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but you look like you're like 14. So how did you get all these? That's a compliment. How did you get all these?
Thank you. Maybe 20. I'll take 24. I actually just had a birthday. I won't say how old my age was, but it's a lot older than that. I got these guys together through David Davidian, I would have to say. When Alice Cooper kind of got me on his radio show, and David Davidian is the tour manager for Alice Cooper, he took an interest in me. And during like the pandemic and COVID era, he put together this group of musicians that said, "Do you want to go make a record with all of your great material?" And I said, yes. And that's when I met Rich and I met Tommy and I met Buck and Buck from Aerosmith and Tommy Hendrickson from Alice Cooper's band. But really, I met Rich Fortis, who plays with Guns now. And we even had more of an interest after the Borderline record that we made during that time, which was in like 2001 and in 2003. And I saw Rich right outside, he came to one of my gigs in LA in the Viper Room. And yeah, I was in the spring of like 2023, and he said, "Let's do another one, you know, let's do another record." And that summer is when I really dove into songwriting again. And I really kind of just go back into my old catalog, ideas I might have had, some ideas that worked in the past or didn't work. And for Chance on Love, this one came out of just nowhere. It was one of those channeling things where I'm writing all these things that I'm supposed to write or I think I'm supposed to write. And then all of a sudden something just comes out in me and I don't really know how or where it comes. And I just am on the piano, and it's because I'm bored or frustrated with something that I just go, "I give up, you know, what am I supposed to do here?" And then all of a sudden, you know, the angels come down. So
instead of writing "Here to Have a Boring Time," you came out with "Chance on Love."
Yes, I'm like, oh my God, don't do the same thing, right? No, I did something different, yeah.
Well, and you got all the guys together. And I think what really helps you as an indie artist is not only that you don't have to answer to a corporate overlord, but you also have technology working for you.
It is. And I demoed all this stuff inside of my basement and like kind of where we are right now. This is like my studio and it's changed different spots. But after that, I gave it to Rich, and Rich is the one who kind of came up with this amazing new super group of Daryl and Charlie Drayton, which is an amazing drummer. He used to play with Keith. Anybody that's played with Keith Richards is like mind-blowing to me. So I got to hear stories and get to have that vibe and that energy that they bring to it. And they've also played for Miles Davis, and they've also played together as a band. So they were a band formed in a version of the Dead Daisies. So me going into this record, they were already so in tuned, knew each other, best friends with each other. They have keys to their apartments and all kinds of different things. So I just came in going, "Here's my songs, do what you will." And they really, what the most important thing to me is that they kept it so authentic to really my original demos. They never really strayed off of it because they felt that whatever I was doing was already so good. So I was like, wow, that's so cool. And they just put their magical touches on it. So it was
your version of the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. A very, very good example, actually.
I get you. So when you put the lyrics together, you know what? Before I even get into the lyrics with you, let's play a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
The song, Chance on Love. Here we go. All right, that's just a little snippet of the song. I don't want to play the whole thing, so people go out to your website, hellings.music, and buy it.
Listen, and, yes. And buy and listen. But listen, most importantly, I don't know how many people buy it nowadays.
All right, let's listen to it then. Well, you got to make money as an independent
artist.
You do.
It's hard. It's hard out there. Touring and doing stuff like that is a really big way. And getting into the sync market is also a really nice way of making a little bit of cash. But support your local artists or a regional artist or even popular artists by going to iTunes and buying it, you know?
Sure.
Any dollar. It's just think of that as not like a charity thing, but if you want more music from the artists, go pay for it, you know?
And less if it goes to others if you do it that way. In the old days.
Exactly. Yeah, and it doesn't go to just anybody. And these streaming services, they don't pay out anybody, which is kind of like a little bit of a scam kind of going on within the industry. And I don't know how many people are really putting out the music that we are and the care that we're doing. So it's important to get individual, go to their website and really get into them, go to the shows, support them for merch or buying merch or even vinyls, which we're about to put out, which is really great.
When you started, well, I have a more important question because I don't know if anybody's ever asked you this before, but it's hitting my ear a certain way. So I've got to ask, what is that accent?
This accent is Philadelphia, kind of New York, Philly, East Coast.
Okay.
But I lived out in LA for a very long time. So I have the melting pot.
Yeah, you do. Well, how is it though? You know, when I complimented you earlier, and the audience has to excuse my stumbles occasionally because it's pollen time. They know me. But when you started out, how is it that you're able to sustain an independent artist career and not appear to be jaded? In other words, I gave you a compliment earlier about how young you look, but it's also you don't appear to be the typical jaded musician look. How do you do that? Is it makeup? Is it lighting? Is it alcohol? What is it?
acting. Come on. Acting. You got to act. Okay, you don't really want to know my deep, dark thoughts, right? That's a good question. I've never been asked that one before, but I like that one. It's hard. It is definitely hard. You know what has kept me not jaded is gratefulness. I think being grateful every day, knowing that I get to do what I want to do and my music and work with these people and get to do it my way. I just don't see anybody else really being able to do that in my world. And if they do, I respect them. I respect the people that had to do a lot of the different things that they didn't want to do to get where they are. But for me, just to get to do and hear it and express it and have it perform the way that it was inside, I think it's just so authentic that I would never give that up. You know, how could you be jaded about that? Of course you get down and you get discouraged and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you got to do what you want to do. You get to be a rock and roll singer.
Exactly. You know?
So that's what I keep in the back of my head. And the other is just alcohol and acting.
Does it help having a couple of kids? Does that help too?
Oh, yes, yes. And I have a little girl that I actually had when I was writing Chance on Love, and she helped me out. Amazing. Oh, my goodness. She is the light of my life, you know? Nightingale is her name. And she helped me realize to slow down. And daddy, it's okay. And everything's good. And you're a rock star, you know, in her eyes, you know, and she likes my music, which was really nerve wracking for me. I think more than just having a baby, I was like, oh God, I hope she likes my music.
Yeah. Just wait till she turns 13.
Yeah. And then she's going to hate it. Right. Exactly. Yeah,
you're going to be the anti-hero at that point, I think. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't like anything he does. So I'm cherishing the moment.
how do you work your schedule? In other words, because you have a family, so do you have a set time that you're working on music and recording, or is it just at?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it's definitely difficult when you have a family, and especially traveling. And I work a lot with my girl, my girlfriend, who's like a co-manager of mine. And
you have a lot of co-managers. I wanted to tell you that.
I know. Well, I've had a lot of managers. I only really have one manager now. Okay. Nighty is also, which we call Nightingale, is also a co-manager of mine.
You're the equivalent of what the executive producers are in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You have 1,800 co-managers.
all the front screen credits, right? Executive producer, co-executive.
For $20,000, you could be a co-producer.
Yeah, you could be a co-producer.
Go to hellings.music and contribute now.
Contribute parties. Please bring them our way. It's difficult. I spent a lot of time taking moments with songwriting, like weekends, you know, anytime the grandparents can maybe watch her, even with her, I liked her being around because she's got great taste in music. She comes from me. So it's like really interesting to her listen, see what she reacts to as a young person. But I'm always just thinking, maybe not like going down to a serious session or whatnot, but I'm always coming out of the shower or thinking about it on, you know, when I'm out there swinging a golf club or, you know, taking an Uber somewhere or going out one night. I'm always just in the song thinking about a cool concept, a cool lyric that could relate and is personal to me. Mm-hmm. And then writing that, and then really you're just waiting for, you know, whatever that divine thing that it's like, oh, whoa, what is that? That is cool. I've never heard that before. And really trying to capture it. And now it's a little bit easier, like you said, with technology, even though it's kind of destroyed music and the authenticity of it in a way, it's very easy for me to just pick up a phone and just hit my voice memo and get that idea down and work on it later. And so it's really cool. It's like, it's a pro and it's a con. But I like to think about the positive things that we can get from it. You know, I get still continue to create the music that is coming to me and what I want. And I love the fact that the guys that I got to play with wanted to keep it that way too. So that was really important. And I can't wait to do it again with them. We were just talking about, we just need to keep pushing this out because I'm always writing. I'm like, that's what I really did when I didn't really kind of make it per se or whatever. I was just always just down in my basement writing and writing and writing. And so I don't think a lot of people get that sort of development. So I feel like I have like a little bit of a power within that time of that isolation of just writing for decades, mm-hmm. that I can get down there and do whatever I know I can nail it, you know, and I know I could put out good music for myself and for whoever's listening.
It's almost as if you're exercising a muscle.
And, it really is. And it's a really weird muscle to exercise. No one really does it, you know? So, and everybody's so amazed when they kind of come around and like, what are you doing? Are you writing a song? I'm like, yeah, and I don't really know how I'm doing it. I just know that I've tapped in enough times that I know when something sounds good.
Yeah, it's a subconscious is coming to you and the universe, and there's other metaphors for it. But
oh my goodness, anything good and anything more higher than yourself, really.
Whenever I talk to creative people, they'd say it just starts channeling through you and you can just.
It is a channel. And I know a lot of people say that, but when you really think about it, it doesn't come to you any other way because I've tried to force it and forcing it is you might be working on something and for years, and then all of a sudden, you know why you were working on it because it comes to you in a moment. Right. And it is the patience and the belief in yourself to really kind of stay on that path. Don't get discouraged. Just know that it's all part of it. And that discouragement sometimes fuels you to, you know, capitalize on whatever is happening in that moment. I get up many times when I have to pee in the middle of the night and it's like, gosh, I have this song in my head. I'm so tired though. I don't have a baby. You know, it's like, go down and write it or just get something down. Just always be in it and engulfed in it, but don't force it because forcing anything, we all know what that turns out like, you know?
Well, I think everybody knows that if you wake up in the middle of the night and an idea comes to you and you think you're going to remember it and go back to sleep, it doesn't work.
Please do not. Not everyone is Keith Richards because he seems to be the only one that's done that. But he always had a tape recorder right by his bed too.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't even remember writing half the stuff that he's done. But always, if you're going to remember it too, but always record it. Always put something down because it's going to turn out different anyway. It's going to turn out into another thing when you give it to someone like Rich,
right?
You give it to your bass player like Daryl. Oh my gosh, he's going to turn it into another little thing and another little thing. Just make sure that the essence of it and the purity is still there.
You're metaphorically writing a bass line, and then from there you can build on it. And
oh, you can build anything on it, especially an idea. An idea is kind of like a sound, but also it was always really hard for me to write lyrics back in the day, but I was always really great at writing concepts and what I was trying to communicate. Then the lyrics came. Don't try to write anything. Just when it comes to you, you'll know it. And you hear a cool line, always be, you know, ear to the ground sort of thing. Anybody that's talking, anybody that you hear saying a cool little thing, just make sure you're like paying attention. If your mind's on it, just like anything you do, if you're obsessed with it, maybe obsession is a bad description
focused,
of it.
You're focused on it.
Focused, maybe even obsessed. Just be in it, you know? Yeah. Always be in it, but don't be too much where it takes away from all just living life, because that's what you have to do to write songs. You know, the songs don't just come from writing songs. Songs come from being a dad, falling in love, falling out of love, doing all kinds of different things.
Taking a chance on love.
Taking a chance on love. I like that one
as well. Now I know why you're not a plumber, because if you're a plumber, gets the work done, it's finished. He goes to bed. He doesn't have to worry about waking up and an idea coming to him.
He just makes sure he gets back to bed and goes, but
he's got his tools. He's going to fix the same stuff the next day.
I'm in the middle of the night still fixing the link.
Yeah. Plumbers are vital to our country. They don't get enough credit, but artists
are
also.
You were talking about plumbers because we just had some over here and our dishwasher was kind of not doing so well. And I was just thinking about how important this person is. I always think about how important trash men are too, because I was like, oh my God. If I miss one trash day, we're screwed.
Especially when it's hot. Yeah.
And it's hot and there's diapers and stuff. It's over, man.
God bless plumbers.
And I know. God bless trash men and plumbers.
That's your next song. I think you got to do a trash men and plumbers song. Yes. I want 10% for my
All right, 10% only if you write it a little bit with me. Do background.
All right, I can do that.
I'm in.
And anything that's bad, we'll flush it down.
Yeah, we'll just flush it down.
Or throw it out, right? And if we can get an electrician in there, we'll get a charge on it.
I love it. Yeah, we'll get some money on it.
So it's good. So
that'd be good.
When you're out on the road or performing at a club, it's so different from when you're there in the basement writing, right? In terms of solo.
So different. It's actually, I feel more comfortable on the stage than anywhere, I will say, except for when I'm like in isolation writing. Right. I don't feel really good writing in front of anybody until it's like complete. But I don't have that thing when I'm on the stage or I'm performing. I just know exactly what to do, because I probably put so much pre-pro and preparation inside my music. So I know what to do when I'm up there. I always say, don't get up there if you don't have good music, if you don't have good songs, you don't know who you want to be, who you are. I get really upset that people just want to go up there and play, but you're up there to play because you have good music. So by the time I get it to the stage, I know exactly what I want to do, who I am, what I want it to sound like. So I envision it even before I get there. So it's very easy for me to get up on stage. I'm about to do it next month at the Whiskey. I've played the Whiskey so many times over since my 20s, and I'm just grateful to be able to go back there and do my thing. But it's very easy when you already know what you're about to do and envision it. Yeah. It's just kind of like a sports player envisioning them winning, some sort of a big sports program of the Super Bowl or the Masters or whatever. Envision what you're about to do, but it's so easy when you have the preparation, when you have the music to back you up and a great band, you can't lose, you know?
When you get on stage, are you aware, because I'm aware of it talking with you and we've just met, there is, not with every performer, and it's crucial to a lot of performers, some not if they're overly talented, they don't need this factor, but there's a likability factor that you have. So in other words, people see you on stage, you're relaxed because you, as you said, you've prepared, you know what you're going to do on stage. So you're relaxed and you have what I think is a likability factor that endears you to the audience even more in addition to the music.
Absolutely. I think it's the most important just to know what you're doing up there, because you're kind of like a leader in a sense of you're the channeling between the music and them. So if you know what you're doing, you are there writing every note, you are there writing every lyric, and you are there putting the set list together, you are there in all facets of the music. It's easy to get up there and communicate to them, hey, let's get up, let's get into it. This is what it's about. I rarely talk in between songs. I don't really like people that try to explain songs. I like people that try to interpret songs, because that's what it is. It's all a big interpretive game. So if you're just nice and that, like you said, that factor of I'm here because I just want to give you good music. I'm not here for you to particularly, I want you to like me, but I want you to really like the music. I really want you to like what we're doing here. I think a lot of people get that all confused. You know, you're not there to just be liked. I mean, Iggy Pop wasn't liked when he first came out, and now he's playing Coachella, you know?
But I think it's an added feature to the music and the performance by having that likability factor.
I think so. And I've always tried to have it because I never wanted me to get in the way of the music. I just want to be kind and and good. I don't really even have an opinion as much as this is my art. And whatever you want to take from it, that's what it is. It's not up to me for you to force you to like it. I just want you to listen. And then if it does touch you, then I've done my job in some sort of way. And it won't touch everybody. So I think it's really important to have that likability thing. And if all else fails, I just smile, you know? And
just, and you kind of, you know? What's the word I can't think of the word, but it's you smile and you work your way through it.
No, it's like, we're going to do this together, right?
You're probably your way through it. That might be it. You're probably
The way through. I've had some gigs where I've had to do that and it wasn't all sounding great, but I can't tell you enough when I know that what we're about to play and I know that inside and out, the song just comes to life because it is alive and I become alive through it. So I really rely on the music and my players and everybody that went into making it. So much rather than just myself, you know? And then of course, right. You know, my Lord and my inner soul and my inner savior. So it's really important to be in tune with yourself. I know that sounds kind of cliche. And how do you get there? You get there by just knowing it and spending time with it. And if you do that, you'll be there.
Before I let you go, what have you got coming up next?
So we got the whiskey May 6th, which is going to be a really nice little thing. It's kind of like a showcase for us. We're playing with a band called Red Voodoo, and they're a really cool band.
And since people watch and listen from all over, you're talking about the whiskey in Hollywood, of course.
The whiskey in Hollywood, California. Yeah, that's kind of where I cut my teeth on the Sunset Strip. So I always kind of go and play the whiskey. It's fairly famous.
Been around for probably since the 60s.
Jim was playing there, Janis. And the Stones and all my favorite bands. But it's still alive. It's one of the only venues that is still kind of up and running over there. The Viper is still gone and going, but the whiskey stays alive and we're playing there. And then we're doing some tour dates in Mexico, I think, during the summer. And then we're going to come back to New York and maybe play the Cutting Room or some, you know, Bowery Electric or the Bowery Ballroom, maybe even. And but just doing boutique little shows here and there and releasing more material. We'll have a six song EP. We had seven, but we cut it down to six by the end of the year for you guys. And we'll have music videos with them. So go to hellings.music and check it out. And all of our handles are all Hellings Music and just Google us. And
yeah. And also they can get your tour schedule on there as well.
You could get the tour schedule. We have new merch coming out with Chance on Love, Big Heart. I drew this heart that I gave to a really amazing artist out in California named Cortez, Harley Cortez. And he put this amazing art together for the front cover, but we're using it for some merchandise. So if you come to the whiskey, you can get it off our website. So if you want a really cool t-shirt or something like that, you can always get that off our website. So
I heard also there's rumors that on hellings.music, you also can get plumbing supplies. Is that true?
Plumbing supplies, trash bags, anything you want, you know? And if you in the spark of being an electrician, you know, my manual for it. I mean, we do it all around here, right? Everything. The everything bagel.
No, that's great. Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been singer-songwriter Brett Hellings. His new single is Chance on Love. And we mentioned for everything about Brett, you can go to Hellings Music. And of course, you can go to all his social handles at Hellings. And it's Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and probably several other. Brett, thanks so much for being on.
Oh, man, it was such a pleasure. It was such a breath of fresh air talking to you. And let's do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep it up. Absolutely. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.